The following is a class given by His Holiness Jaya Bhattacha Swami on August 14, 1995 at Bhaktivedanta Manor in London, England. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter 10, Verse 17 and 18.
Antarajayate vibho
Vipasato chakshatascha
Pramukam niravidyata
The living force, being agitated by the Virat Purusha, generated hunger and thirst. And when he desired to drink and eat, the mouth opened. The living force, being agitated by the Virat Purusha, generated hunger and thirst. And when he desired to drink and eat, the mouth opened. Purport by His Divine Grace of the Prabhupada. The process by which all living beings in the womb of the mother develop their sense organs and sense perceptions appear to follow the same principles in the case of the Virata Purusha, the sum total of all living entities. Without the supreme cause of all, generation is not impersonal. Therefore, the supreme cause of all generation is not impersonal or without desire. The desires for all kinds of sense perception and sense organs exist in the supreme, and thus they take place in the individual persons. This desire is the nature of the supreme, is the nature of the supreme living being, the absolute truth. Because he has the sum total of all mouths, the individual living entities have mouths. Similarly, with all other senses and sense organs, here the mouth is the symbolic representation of all sense organs, but the same principles apply to the others also. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation purport to text 17, chapter 10, canto 2 of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And the matter of Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions. The next verse, very much connected. Mukatas talu nirbhinam jibha tato pajayate tato nana raso jagye jivaya yo digamyate. Translation. From the mouth the palate became manifested, and thereupon the tongue was also generated. After this, all the different tastes came into existence so that the tongue can relish them. Report. This gradual process of evolution suggests the explanation of the controlling deity, Adideva. Because Varuna is the controlling deity for all relishable juices. Therefore, the mouth became the resting place for the tongue, which tastes all the different juices of which the controlling deity is Varuna. This suggests, therefore, that Varuna was also generated along with the development of the tongue. The tongue and the palate, being instrumental, are adibhuta, or forms of matter. But the functional deity, who is a living entity, is adidaiva, whereas the person undergoing the function is adhyatma. Thus the three categories are also explained as to their birth after the opening of the mouth of the Virata Purusha. The four principles mentioned in this verse serve to explain the three main principles, namely the adhyatma, Adidaiva and Adibhutam, as explained before. So that's the end of Bhaktivedanta Swami translation purport to text 17 and 18 of chapter 10, canto 2. Canto 2. And the Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions. The Lord Ninda, controller of all kinds of wonderful energies, as it mentioned in Sveta Sattu Upanishad, Parasha Shakti Vividaya Suyate. These different energies, they act just according to the will of the Lord. The Lord wants to experience drinking, eating. In order to do that, the mouth is created, tongue is generated, and then it requires that some tastes have to be there to taste, so those are generated. And also the controlling deity of these elements is generated. Everything that's needed comes automatically. Just like somebody wants to have a factory, decides, I want to make rubber balls, a car. In order to do that, then, you know, maybe there's some big billionaire, he decides he wants to make something. But then to do that, you require the factory, the marketing, the advertising, you require the management, the executives, the accountants, the workers, the fabricators, the electrical connections, so many things you need. But he may just give the order, okay, let's make a factory. And then after that, then once they make the decision to do it, then all these other things come automatically. So when Krishna wants, through the Virata Purusha, he wants to experience a particular perception. Automatically, everything that's needed is created at the same time. So in every material thing, there's these three aspects, Adi Atma, Adi Bhuta, and Adi Daiva. Daiva is the controlling deity over the functions, to see that the things go properly. The Adi Bhuta is the actual material elements, which are different from the self, that are required in order to have the function happen. In this case, it was the senses. And the Atma is the entity to whom it's the soul, this body or entity to whom it's happening. So Adi, Atma, Bhuta, and Deva. In this way, the creation happens in a very automatic, developed way, very systematic way, one thing after another. But simply by the desire of the Lord. So in the spiritual world, there's sensual perceptions on a higher level. So to create the material world, then some form of sense perception is needed in the material world. So then all the different requirements for that, they're automatically generated. So this is the primary creation. Mahavishnu does the primary creation. Sense organs are required. Sense perceptions. These all things are required in order to have the secondary creation done by Lord Brahma. After you have all the basic elements, and you have all the basic elements, ingredients in the universe, then you can create the bodies. So here, in this chapter is saying how one after another, how the different senses have developed. There's a different system for the evolution, certainly not the way that Darwin or others have thought that things are evolving from matter. Rather, things in a sense are devolving. The Lord, who has got transcendental senses, he wants to recreate a kind of a virtual reality or virtual replica in material nature, so that living entities can imitate what's going on in the spiritual material bodies. So then sense perceptions are needed. So how to make that? Automatically these things get designed and developed from through his energies. He simply asks, okay, let there be some taste. But there be some smelling? Let's see, let's have some seeing and hearing and touching. And so all the things that are needed in order to have that, in order to taste, you have to have liquid. Without liquids, then you can't taste. So then over liquids, you have a deciding deity of liquids. To smell, you need the solids. You need to generate earth. Generate. To feel, you need air. And to see, you need light. So, it actually makes a lot of difference. Otherwise, why would you need light? You need light to be able to see. In the spiritual world, they don't have material light. They have another way of seeing, which is inconceivable to us in this world. But they're able to see. But being in this world where then you need some means of seeing, then you need some means of illumination. So since everything is coming as a reflection of the spiritual world, whatever is existing in the spiritual world in a pure, uninebriated manner, then here the replica in the material nature, a kind of duplication or virtual copy is, imitation copy is made to replicate the primary functions that exist in the spiritual world. So sense perception is existing in the spiritual plane. So in order to have a full material life, then you'd also have to have sense perception. Because Krishna has got transcendental senses, so when he makes the humans, even the Bible says man is made in the image of God. What does that mean? Here we can actually see the Virat Rupa as the form of the Lord, who has got all the transcendental senses, and he wants to manifest the things. Virat Rupa is having the subtotal of all the material senses, but so the Supreme Lord has got these different functions, so then these had to be manifested in the material world to replicate them. But these perceptions, they're very superficial, they're affecting the body, but the Atma is identifying with the body, so therefore the Atma considers that these perceptions are real. That these are not... Because it's the nature of the Atma to have perception. It's not that perception wasn't there in the soul before. Perception was there. Just like we're able to see with our eyes, now if we put on, look through a telescope, then we can see through the telescope. If we look through the video camera, we can see the perception is already there. You can look through the eyes, or through the eyes, and you can look through some other instruments. Because that faculty, that capacity is already there. So simply what's happening is that it's being interfaced with the material body, to the false ego. And now instead of seeing things through our spiritual senses, we're seeing things through the senses provided by this body. Therefore, the illusion is very powerful, and one did this, I think, this is myself, this is me. Especially all the animals and all the living entities that they don't have the slightest, you couldn't tell a dog or a cat if you're not the body. But a human being is considered the most developed. The most developed of the living entities, the 400,000. So that in human form of life, we can actually realize that we are not this body. That we are actually a divine force, divine person that's a part of the Supreme Person. So here, the actual nature of our existence is clearly explained in the Bhagavatam. There is a kind of an evolution, and it's very interesting. I mean, if people don't hear this message from the Bhagavatam, they'd never be able to really understand how it happens. Just like you have people like Darwin who come up with their theories, and they see, well, there's a very similarity in the design of the different bodies. They all have mouths, they all have ears, they all have eyes, right? So they think one must have developed from the other. But then he sees a peacock. And he says, whenever I see a peacock, I get sick in my stomach. has his speculation of natural selection doesn't explain how a bird would have such a beautiful feather. It's not required for survival. It's not a camouflage. The bird doesn't form any useful purpose of survival or something. And the whole speculation came to fall. So here's something that is very beautiful. It works. It's functional. But by accident, the molecules bouncing against each other, somehow they come up with some accidental form like this peacock feather. It's so ridiculous. Something that artistic, that intricate, it just can't come about by accident. So even though he's bewildered, Maya Pragita Gana, by the material energy, still he's got enough intelligence to figure out this one doesn't fit in to my theory. So he gets sick. So what do you do when you get sick? You try to forget about it. The ones that don't fit in, they try to forget about it. Let's just forget about this one and make believe it doesn't exist. And then we can go on with the theory. So they keep doing that so many times. But if we take it from the other perspective, the why there's a similarity in all the bodies, it's very easy. It's a common designer. It's just like when you see the Volvos, they all got a similarity in their design. They're the same design team. Although every year they change a little bit, but you know, it's still kind of figure it's just a Volvo or it's a Volkswagen or a Mercedes. There's certain design similarities because the designer is the same. But since Krishna is designing everything through his expansion and energy, so naturally there's going to be design similarities. You just make variations of each of the to fit a certain consciousness of living entities. One living entity wants to crawl a little faster or do something a little better, so that from this kind of caterpillar, okay, he's got a little developed desire, what's the next step up? This evolution of consciousness, as the soul transmigrates from one body to the next. So the different gradations of material experience are presented in the 8,400,000 species. But the actual is not evolved in the sense of that this happens just from matter. It's actually happening from spirit. The spirit wants to experience these things through the material body. The Supreme Lord then provides the different bodies that they can do it. And the Atma is going from one body to the next, according to their desires of what they want to experience and what their karmas are. Prabhupada explains how some lizards are there that want to fly. Some snakes are there that want to, some was a lizard, a snake wants to fly. So then like next birth, they can take birth as a bird. Although there are even some flying lizards and flying fish. You can imagine how these desires that come about. One time Prabhupada was in Mayapur looking at all these different bugs in a certain in October or September, there's like a right after the rainy season, when things start to dry up, there's unlimited bugs that get generated. So many bugs then. Prabhupada had us turn the lights off in the building because when the lights were on, so many bugs come. In the morning we'd find about 1 foot high pile of bugs under the light. So the Prabhupada was looking at some of these bugs and he was saying, you know, just think what kind of desires they had in order to get this body. They get a body according to our desires. So some living entity had such a desire to get that kind of body. Just wanted to enjoy. And there's some kind of, they call one kind that's called a love bug. Like they just stay stuck together for, I don't know, 1/3 of their life. And they go, they get smashed up on everything. And so maybe someone just had that desire, they wanted to be stuck together and having sex for 1/3 of their life, and then so they can become a love bug. It's such a low entity that it's really hard to figure out exactly what they're experiencing, but apparently, according to the Bhagavatam, all the different entities have got the same kind of perceptions in their own limited way. Rishabhdev says that even the stool eaters, the dogs and the pigs, they're also having the same material happiness as eating, sleeping, sex life, and defending. So in their own ways, they're also experiencing from their various senses. Some senses may be more developed than others in different species. So the devas, they're able to control certain of the elements and see that as a, see how all these things work from a higher level. But ultimately they're all under the control of the Lord. Sometimes they forget that and they think that they're actually independent. I think I told that story once about how the different devas came and Vishnu took the form of a rishi. And then Vishnu tested. Remember that example? Devas had fought a big battle with the demons and they were all victorious. And then the devas were very proud of their victory. And Vishnu was saying that they don't understand how all their potency comes from me. So then Vishnu decided to give him his mercy and he took the form of a rishi and just sat in meditation, started emitting some effulgence. Indra, Agni and Vayudev were there discussing and then some other devas. Indra saw this rishi, so who is that? How did this rishi get here in heavenly planets? And who is that rishi? So he sent Vayudev, you go find out who that rishi is. Come back and tell us. So then the Lord of Air, he goes and approaches that rishi, yogi meditating. And the rishi opens his eyes and sees Vayudev and says, who are you? Vayudev says, I'm the Lord. Vayudev, what do you do? So I'm the Lord of all the air. So what power do you have? I can make things blow. I can move the air. So then he put down a piece of straw in front of him. I said, can you move that? He said, sure. He said, move it. He put so much, like hurricanes are going, trees are falling, but that little straw didn't move. Just didn't move, no matter how much air he put on. So the Vayudev got kind of freaked out by the whole thing, came back to Indra, you know. And they said, who was that? So, I don't know. Didn't you ask him? I forgot to ask him. What do you mean you forgot to ask? What kind of, you know? I just said to find out who he was, so I couldn't figure it out. Agni Day, you go. I mean, this is by your day. Agni Day, you go and find out. Who is that? Devas just aren't like they used to be. Anyway, so then Agni Dev, he went and Rishi asked him, who are you? He says, I'm Agni Deva. I'm really proud. Agni Dev, what's your power? I can burn anything. Controlling all the heat. See that straw there? Can you burn that? Sure, I can burn that. I'll burn it. Let me see your power. The stones are melting around everything. Doesn't burn. Stays there intact. He goes back and just said, who is that? So, I don't know who that was. Now what do you mean you don't know who that was? Why didn't you find out? He didn't want to admit, you know. Well, no more difficult than you thought. What do you mean? You know, and then I'm gonna go and find out who that is, you people. You know, you're all useless. He goes over. As he gets there, the rishi is gone. There was an apsara, Urvasi, flying by. And he said, well, where's the rishi? There was a rishi here a little while ago. Where is he? Who was that rishi? So you don't know who that rishi was? No, I didn't. Where is he? That rishi was Lord Vishnu. He had come in this form because all you devas were so proud that you're thinking that your powers are independent. You forget that all your powers are simply coming from the Supreme Personality of God. Immediately, Lord Indra felt very ashamed and found out what happened. So although these devas have got certain powers that might be not so clear to us, why there's a need for devas. Like you make a machine, perfect machine, automatic. Why do you need an operator? You need an operator. Sometimes something happens, you know. You ever worked in a printing press, even though it's all made, every little paper jams up, something happens, the ink gets stuck. You need an operator, in spite of how nice you make your machine, you make a perfect computer, but something always screws up, and you have to fix it. So somehow, you don't make these different elements, but you need someone there to keep them working somehow. Maybe those are crude examples, and these are, but anything material requires a certain amount of maintenance. So the devas, they have some role over these different aspects of the nature. But their powers are coming from Krishna, they're not independent. But they might forget. Somebody in the factory might get so puffed up he forgets that there's a managing director. So he gets fired or gets his pay to chop. But being absorbed in what he's doing, he might just get carried away. So sometimes Vishnu, he has to remind them. And of course the different demons, they come and they create a lot of trouble for these devas, and then sometimes there's so much trouble, they don't know what to do. And they have to approach Vishnu in order to get a solution. They're explaining how there was once a demon, the Shankasura, who came and created so much trouble that the devas had to hide in the Mount Meru. The Shankasura decided he was going to neutralize the devas by stealing from them all the Vedic knowledge. So he went to the Brahmaloka looking for the personified Vedas to steal them. The Vedas went into the ocean and dissolved themselves, so they couldn't be found. So Shankasura, seeing them go in the ocean, he also entered in the ocean looking for them. And the devas were so happy, saw the opportunity rather, that Shankasura was hiding, was looking in the ocean. They went out and went by the side of the ocean of milk, and they wanted Vishnu to come and help them. But they saw that Vishnu, he was sleeping in yoga nidra. So how to wake him up, how to attract his attention in an auspicious way so he'll be pleased with them. So they all started a big kirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, kirtan, and Lord Vishnu, he woke up, and he was very happy, woke up from his yoga nidra, his mystic slumber, very happy to see all the devas chanting his holy name. The Lord really likes when the devotees chant kirtan. The day that all the devas were chanting, he was very happy. He said, this is the best day of my life. This is like my favorite day, let me put it that way. This is my favorite day. Anyone on this particular day who chants my holy name, so he can easily achieve it. Know which day that was? Ekadasi. That's why Ekadasi is so special. We chant, apart from all the karma kanda reasons, but it's very pleasing to the Lord. So anyone who chants and increases, that's why we do more japa on Ekadasi, to get the special blessings of the Lord. So then the Lord, satisfied to the devas, requested to please, if you could save us from the Shankasura, it's in the ocean. So then Kasyapa Muni had his hands unfolded, and the next thing there was a little fish came in the hand, a little fish big, and there was no room. They put it in a well, it became bigger than the well. They put it in a lake, it became bigger than the lake. And they put it in the ocean, took a gigantic form in the ocean, and then Matsya Avatar, he defeated the Sankasura and liberated him. But now all the Vedas were still dissolved in the water, so then by the mercy of Matsya Avatar, he saved all the Vedas and gave them back to Lord Brahma. Then Brahma entrusted them to different rishis, each of the different departments of the Vedas. So that's why you have got the different Upanishads and different Vedas, each being supervised by different devotees. They're expert in that particular line of knowledge. So the Devas, they're all dependent on the Lord. We are all dependent on the Lord. Everything is dependent on the Lord. If the Lord moves, things move. If the Lord stops moving, everything stops. There's an example of that, that when Radharani goes in Mahabhava and faints, then Krishna also simultaneously feels so much separation. It's a counter energy. Radharani, when she's in that supreme ecstasy of love for Krishna, then he also goes into immediate trance of separation. And when Krishna is in trance, when he's stunned and he's in that form of transcendental consciousness, then everything stops. Everybody, everything and the entire creation all becomes frozen, unconscious. Only person that's awake is Lord Balaram. As the Swayam Prakash, Lord Krishna has delegated these functions to him so that he doesn't have to worry about it. In case he goes unconscious, there's a big problem. Everything goes unconscious. He's the Supreme Consciousness. Everything is within Krishna. But Krishna counterpart his direct cleaner expansion. He's given that independence that he'll always remain conscious, even when Krishna is not conscious. So Balaram is in a very unique position. We just had Balaram's appearance day, meditating on his transcendental glory. So Lord Balaram, when he wakes up, Krishna revives him from his ecstatic trance, and then everything starts to move again. So Krishna arranges things so he's not limited in any way. Once he can also feel the ecstasy to be unconscious. Otherwise, everything would just stop and I think like a big problem. He does that by his Swayam Prakash. He gives all existential energy function to him. But there's a good example how everything, if Krishna is not moving, nothing moves. So if the Mahavishnu is sleeping, everything would stop. But the Yoga Nidra is something different because that is while resting one may also be dreaming. So in a sense the whole material world is like the dream of the Lord Mahavishnu. Now this material birth is an opportunity for us as a human being to return back to our original unconditioned state that we can do by also chanting the holy names, purifying our consciousness. Being a human, we are able to achieve Krishna consciousness in this lifetime by accepting bhakti. We can go directly back to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in the fourth canto, Lord Shiva, he explains that how by 100 births of pious, not only pious, say 100 births of perfect varnashram, following the varnashram principles perfectly for 100 births, one can achieve Brahmaloka. However, even more piety is required to be able to reach his plan. But if one renders pure devotion to Lord Krishna, pure bhakti, then even in one birth, the same life, they can go back to Krishna. The Gopa Kumar, in the Vihad Bhagavad-gita, was visiting Brahmaloka, and then Brahma touched some form, and a big demon came in, out of the form, and Brahma ran away, and Vishnu killed the demon. but Brahma was not present, so then the Gopal Kumar, he took, was asked by Vishnu that for the time being you fill in for Lord Brahma, you can, this is time for the next creation. So the Gopal Kumar, when he created the, all the universe at this time, he filled it up with Vaishnavas, do the preaching and do yajnas and all kinds of, he wanted to really put a high relation of all kinds of devotees. And then he saw that there was a human being coming from Bharat, and he was a liberated soul. And he said, where are you going? And then he said, I'm going back to Godhead. And then he started, what am I doing here in Brahmaloka? I should also go. He's going beyond. So even the human beings, by serving in the holy Dham, Navadvip, Mathura, engaging in pure devotional service, they're able to go back to Krishna in the same lifetime. They can go beyond. Even the devas, they can go to the end of the life of Brahma. Even Brahma is feeling this apprehension that although he's a Brahma, he's going to die also. And like anyone, when you die, you always wonder what's going to happen after that. Will I make it to the spiritual world? Of course, Brahma has a really good chance to make it. But sometimes even Brahmas fall down. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that Vakyamukha Brahma, he asked, I don't want to be a materialistic Brahma. Someone might be very pious but not be in pure devotion. As a Brahma, you'd again have to come into the material world for another birth. Vakyamukha Brahma, I'd rather be a bug, insect, a little worm in the stomach of your devotee. Because at least as a worm in the stomach of a pure Vaishnava, I'd be able to get some Mahaprasana remnants. And the devotees, they simply want to serve Krishna. They don't want anything else. They don't want to be Indradev or Brahmadev or anyone. And if Krishna asked, even the Brahma, the Gopal Kumars, they would just fill in, please do this service. But the devotees don't have any desire to do that. Other than as the service to the Lord, they might sometimes do. Therefore, some of the devas, the pure devotees, are doing their service as a matter of devotional service for the Lord. And some of them are not pure devotees, they're sakampantas. But most of the pure devotees, they're going back. Those who are serving Krishna at the end of their life, they go back to Krishna. So this is a great opportunity that we have, although we're born in a Kali Yuga. We have a short lifespan, short memory. We've got so many disturbances. Somehow or another, if we can fix our mind on the lotus feet of Sisi Gornitai, Radha Gokulananda, if we engage in their devotional service following the system given by Srila Prabhupada, then we can achieve the highest perfection. We can go get pure love for Krishna, Krishna Prema, which is even higher than the liberation. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Any question? Karmas and desires are connected. We have a desire to do a certain activity. Say somebody wants to be the Prime Minister. So they try to enter into politics, but they don't have the karma, so they become the Finance Minister or something. They don't have enough puni to quite make it to be the Prime Minister, even though they're trying to everything. Maybe so many people enter politics, they all want to be the Prime Minister, but somebody only becomes the county head. We have counties here, what are you talking about? The area head doesn't make it beyond that. It doesn't have the karma. So you have a particular desire. Someone wants to be rich, but they don't have any karma for that. Even they try their level best, they just get hardly enough to eat. So what activities we do and what desires we have, the two things propel us together. So birth after birth, you come. So even someone said Beethoven was reincarnated in England to hear some little child project of 5 years old, and Mozart is an artist. Musicians.
Someone was saying that he's saying his name just like Mossad. When was Mossad ever taught? Anyway, could be go on taking birth again and again as a musician. So you get that desire out of your system. You know, someone comes again and again as a scientist. But then maybe the first time you come, next time you come back, just to see musicians, they try, they want to, they call, just give it a little opening, leave that chance just to break into it. And they try, they don't make it, you know, they just play in nightclubs their whole life or something, and then next birth, you know, maybe they become a great musician, or maybe it takes 5 or 10. Also partly because they may have the desire, but they don't have the good karma to get that kind of thing, so somehow they did it on punya, and they have the desire that finally then they get what they want. So sacrifice and pious activities are needed. And they also have the desire. If you want Krishna and you perform devotional service, you can get Krishna. If you just want Krishna, but you don't perform devotional service, then so the action and the desire both are needed. Some music in hell. They become a bird or something. Sing beautiful songs. The desires, according to the desires, you're given a certain body, and according to your karmas, how karmas also produce desires. It's all connected. Somebody has this tamasic, done so many sinful activities, they develop tamasic desires. So then their desires form that kind of body. And it's very intricate. It's 100 births, it's not only 1 birth. And all the births' karmas accumulate together. There's different layers, 7 layers of karma. Then there's the desire is also the factor. Thinking, feeling, and willing. If we want to right now, we can just reverse the whole situation of karma by engaging ourselves in devotional service. But if we want material things, it may take a while to get what we want. If you do sacrifices, you can get what you want quicker. So materialists, they do karma kanda sacrifices in order to achieve their desire. The demons do sacrifices also. And they get mystic powers and they get things. So in the material world, if somebody wants to shortcut the way to material success, they do sacrifice. So even the Bhagavatam says, if you want to achieve all material things, or if you want to achieve liberation, or if you want to achieve devotional service, you have no desire, then you should all render the pure devotional service. Akamo sarva kamo va moksha kamo udayadite prena bhakti jogena jujeta purusha. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. That's the supreme sacrifice. But you can do other sacrifices. So some people worship the devas in charge of music. Or they worship the deva in charge of this or that item. And then they can get particularly that thing. And Krishna says, actually, I'm in the heart of the devas and I'm the one that's giving the blessing. But they want a particular thing, they want to approach in that way, indirectly. So I fix their faith and they do it. So you'll find in India, especially musicians, they all worship Goddess Saraswati and they worship, you know, they do their pujas. And they do that particular puja for the particular deity of the thing that they want to achieve. And then some directly worship Vishnu. You can get everything through Vishnu. But then if you're worshipping Vishnu, then afterwards, then why am I working so hard for this particular thing when I can get the supreme thing, which is actually pure devotion? So now in Kali Yuga, there's not so much time. It's recommended to worship Vishnu and try to achieve the pure devotion. But even if you have material desires, okay, anyway, still worship Vishnu. And and that will lead you eventually closer to the pure devotion. Hare Krishna.